How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. This is the second week, friends, that I have been ready to preach from a passage in Mark's gospel when something from our common lives leaps out from the letter of James. Last week it was a section on not showing partiality, highlighted by the glorious wedding of Ari and Mark, and in an encounter with a man named Billy in our parking lot who lives on the streets, a man who really loves cake and wanted to attend this wedding. As far as I know, Billy didn't make it last Sunday, so the offer for cake will have to remain. This Sunday, though, is one that I'd rather not face, but feel as if I have little choice. As you no doubt know, this past week we have witnessed a tragic combination of stunning interconnectedness and deep-seated hatred. It appears that earlier this past year, a poorly made movie was filmed in Southern California entitled Desert Warriors. Some who participated in the filming assumed they were part of a generic movie that takes place 2,000 years ago in Egypt. Sometime in this past year, though, a 14-minute trailer using images from this film was uploaded to YouTube, now entitled The Innocence of Muslims. And then in the past few weeks, it appears this same trailer was redubbed into Arabic and reposted in advance of the anniversary of the September 11th attacks. The reaction from protesters in cities across North Africa, the Middle East, Southeast Asia has been breathtaking. Some of the protests have been peaceful, others have not. In several countries, outrage over the insulting depiction of the Prophet Muhammad has been followed by fury, anger, destruction, and in the case of four employees of the American embassy in Libya, murder. At this moment, international diplomacy rests on a knife's edge as long simmering tensions have boiled over. Now, there are many facets to this growing tragedy. The distrust and fury directed at the West in general and at the U.S. in particular, in many places in this world. Open animosity between factions within Islam and factions within Christianity, even the nature of response from candidates for the United States presidency. All these are critical to understanding this volatile situation and others that may come. But what I feel compelled to focus on this morning is the match which kindled this fire. In one way, I still find it hard to comprehend the world in which we inhabit. A world where an amateurish trailer from a never-seen film can spark riots and mayhem in cities on the other side of the globe. Never before in human history have we been able to communicate with so many and with such ease. The writer of this letter of James could not have conceived of this possibility when inscribing this letter on papyrus, one copy at a time. Whereas it took weeks and months for news to travel, the kindled flames of fury now race the globe in minutes and in seconds. And yet, millennia in the past, the writer of this letter certainly knew humanity well enough that when writing about the human tongue, this metaphor for our communication, they wrote, "How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire." What seems to be slowly emerging from the shadows is that this film was made by a man who lives in Southern California, apparently a Coptic Christian with a tremendous hatred for Islam. In alliance with other self-professed haters of Muslims, they claim that they were promoting this trailer as a way to possibly educate Muslims on what they purported to be the true nature of the Islamic faith. It seems clear to me, however, that their diabolical intent was to incite violence around the world. As one who was affiliated with this film recently said, "We have reached the people we want to reach." For those who have published this film, the death of the ambassador and embassy workers, of scores of protesters and police around the world, these deaths are merely incidental in their program to reveal to the world just what Islam is about, in their words. Well, friends, revelation has indeed taken place. Yes, many who have already held profound anger towards the United States and what has been called the West have been provoked to acts of reprehensible violence. But just as troubling is what these people who claim to be Christian have revealed about themselves. In their pursuit of what they deem to be justice, they have revealed an unconscionable lack of compassion for human life, which was incompatible with the good news of Jesus the Christ. They have revealed themselves to be ignorant of the Messiah, the Christ who teaches this: "You have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And remarkably, these filmmakers have revealed the extraordinary power of the tongue, this rudder of a ship which can shift the course for many, for better and for worse. And I cannot stand here today without contemplating what these fomenters have revealed in me and possibly in you. It is my guess that no one in this church today will be crafting propaganda in order to incite violence within the Muslim world. But friends, we are lying to ourselves and to our God if we do not come to grips with the times in our lives when we set fire to relationships with our own words. Our words come with such power, often more than we acknowledge. You may remember the saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Well, on one level, this may be true. But anyone who has been berated by someone in authority, a boss, a teacher, a parent, anyone who has endured this knows the deadly poison that can be delivered. And those of us who have been slandered or gossiped about know the pain, the shame that comes when a restless tongue spreads its untruth. I tell you, friends, we have to be honest about our words our intent, our silence. How is it, this letter asks, that we truly believe that we can bless our God in one breath and curse those who are made in God's likeness in the next? When we, without thinking, triangulate to make sure that our version of events will be better heard. Or through our cruelty, our indifference, belittle others, bullying them to despair. Or when we commiserate about how, bless her heart, bless her heart, she just doesn't seem to get it. It's for these reasons that our vestry, the leadership body of this congregation, has been using Bishop Greg Rickle's 10 Rules of Respect for many years. Because these 10 simple rules make it clear how we will communicate with one another directly in transparent, life-giving ways. For the alternatives are disastrous. This community, like many others, like families, like businesses, like churches, has felt the pain of fracture and the suffering of distrust. It is a sickness which can take hold of a body and weaken it to the point of disintegration. And so, what is our response? What should we be mindful of as we engage in a world where rumor spreads like wildfire and half-truths are repeated enough to be believed? I believe that our way forward was found in last week's reading from James, and it's one that bears another hearing. It is simple, but it is true. Continue to love your neighbor as yourself. Really, truly. Last week, James's emphasis in this way of being was around works. This week, it is around words. In both cases, it involves choice. Towards the end of our passage today, we were reminded that from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And every moment, we are given the choice to curse or to bless. When we are at our most hurt, when we are frightened, when we are self-righteous, we have that choice. Just as our words can awaken destruction and terror, so too can our words offer healing and grace. And the difference between them ultimately is the difference between life and death. It is no secret that James and Jesus, the rest of the disciples, they all intimately knew conflict and difference. It's not as if this wisdom is coming from perfected community where discord is absent. When you hear these calls to let everyone be quick to listen and slow to speak, this comes from hard-earned experience. They too knew of terrorism, of calamity, of violence. But the response wasn't to fuel the flames or to curse those who hated them. Because, friends, if we are to walk the way of unreasonable love and of embodied justice, we may well be hated. For whatever reason, we may be hated, and often it is unknown to the person who hates. The hateful effects of fear and anger and hurt may well roar around us. And in the heat of the hate, we may well wish to return fire with fire. God knows our lives are littered with the moments when we and those around us have chosen that course. This week, and in the weeks to come, so much as it depends upon you, so much as it depends upon me, may we face the fire and may our tongues yield the words of blessing and of life.